Our friend has told us already this evening that God is a God who wants all men to be saved. It's a God who loves everyone, not willing that any should perish. The Lord Jesus, the Son of God, talking in the chapter our brothers just read to us from, says, "In my Father's house are many mansions. I go to prepare a place for you." And the reason why he says that is that God not only loves everybody, God not only wants everyone to be saved, but God's a wonderful place called heaven. He wants to fill that wonderful place called heaven with men and women and boys and girls just like you and I. God wants us all to be saved. The Savior said, "In my Father's house." Lovely expression, isn't it? My Father's house is home. Lovely expression, isn't it? My Father's house is home. Now I go across the water to the south of England. My Father's house was a lean-to. Behind a second-hand furniture shop. I never remember being warm in that house. There was a fireplace, but I was cooked on one side and frozen on the other. It was an awful place where damp came through the walls almost every day of the year, and every so often they put a new floor in because the old floor had rotted away. But it was home. It was my Father's house. It was a place that was extremely precious to me, my Father's house. I think back of the many occasions of joy that I had in that house, the fun I had as a boy in that house. It was my Father's house, and it was always the most precious place to me. You know, when you use the expression, my Father's house, it really depends who uses the term. Suppose you had a friend who was nasty and impolite and rude and uncouth and everything undesirable, and he said, "My Father's house." You'd say, "What a rotten place that must be. I wouldn't like you there. Wouldn't be comfortable there. Bad background. Bad relationships. Bad temper. Lack of love. That man's talking about my Father's house." And because of the character of the man who said it, you'd say, "I never want to go to that house." But now the Lord Jesus said, "In my Father's house." And when the Lord Jesus said it, as the lovely Son of God, you think of the way in which he's presented the Word of God, loving, kind, gentle, sympathetic, the kind of man that women brought their children to and longed for the Savior to bless them. He talked about my Father's house. And when you think of what a lovely person the Lord Jesus was, how kind, how good, how sacrificial on the part of others, he talked about my Father's house, and you say, his house, the house he comes from, must be a wonderful house. The Father he's got must be a wonderful Father in my Father's house. Delightful expression to describe heaven. Describe the Savior's home. The wonderful thing about it is that the Lord Jesus said, "In my Father's house are many mansions. I'm going to prepare a place for you. A place of sinners. A place for like you and I, folks like you and I, a place in heaven for you, a place in heaven for me. I don't deserve to be there." He said, "You're a preacher. Do you not deserve to be in heaven?" I tell you, as a preacher, there was a moment in my life when I was 14 that I realized that I was a sinner on the way to hell. And I deserve to be in the lake of fire forever and forever and forever. But now I'm sure I'm going to heaven. And this is because God loved me. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that if I believed in the Lord Jesus, I should not perish, but have everlasting life, and spend that eternity of everlasting life in God's wonderful heaven. I'm sure I'm going to heaven. Absolutely sure of that. Because my sins have all been forgiven. And the Bible says this, if you die in your sins, where I am, you never can come. And unless you get your sins forgiven, you'll never enter God's wonderful heaven. The Savior came down into this world. This is what he said to men and women who were listening to him. In my Father's house there are many places to live, many mansions, there's plenty of room there. I would want every sinner to come. In my Father's house are many places to live. I know the King James Version we're using says mansions. Not so much the idea of big mansions as comfortable places to live. And comfortable places to live in heaven forever and ever and ever. You just say, we want to go there. Do you? You want to go to heaven? You want to spend eternity with the Lord Jesus? Spend eternity amongst the joy, amongst the angels? Spend eternity where at God's right hand there's pleasure forever? You want to go to heaven? I'll tell you one thing, my dear friend. You need to be sure you're going to heaven. When I say you need to be sure you're going to heaven, the only way to get to heaven is to get your sins forgiven, and you need to be sure you've got your sins forgiven. I'm asking you to do what I do. Look back to a time when you came as a sinner to the Lord Jesus and really trusted him as your own Savior, and you got your sins forgiven. Now tell me, are your sins forgiven? The folks sitting on this side of the hall, are your sins forgiven? Folks sitting in the center, I can't see any of you, but I'm asking you, are your sins forgiven? Folks on that side, are your sins forgiven? For unless you get your sins forgiven, you'll never see the inside of God's wonderful heaven. And if you don't get your sins forgiven, you'll spend eternity in an awful place the Bible calls the lake of fire. The context of those verses that our brother read to us, it talks about the moment when we're going to heaven. You say, well now, when's that? When are we going to heaven? Well, in the chapter we're talking about, the Lord Jesus says, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again. I stood outside one day, in the Middle East, of the tomb where they believed the Lord Jesus was buried. And Lieutenant General who did look after the tomb, addressed the group one after another that came outside that tomb to see the place where Jesus was supposed to be buried. He said, Muslims come here. All kinds of Eastern groups come here. Catholics come here. Protestants come here. Jews come here. Christians come here. And every one of them believes that the Messiah is coming. I tell you, the belief that the Messiah, the Lord Jesus, is coming is absolutely universal. Many religions believe the Messiah is coming. That's what he's talking about in this chapter. Jesus said, I will come again. How's he coming? I tell you, there's going to be a great big shout. And only Christians will hear it. And that great big shout will penetrate the minds of Christians who are alive. and will penetrate the minds of Christians who have died and been buried in their graves. And in one great rush, they'll rise in resurrection, then rise to meet the Savior in the sky. And that is the moment we're waiting for. Jesus is coming to take us to heaven. You say, take us to heaven. Yes, us living Christians to heaven. And then taking to heaven every dead Christian who lies in your cemeteries round about Vancouver and my country too. The Savior's coming to take us all bodily to heaven. Going to do it, he may do it tonight. So the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel and with the trump of God. The dead in Christ shall rise first, then we, which are alive and remain, shall be caught up to heaven in clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Suppose I came down from this platform, started in this corner, spoke to every Christian, and asked every Christian in the building, now do you want Savior to come? I tell you, every Christian in the building would say yes. And then they think again. They say, but. Yes, but. Every Christian wants the Savior to come because we want to go to heaven and be in that Father's house forever and ever. You say, why would they say but? Have they reservations? In a way, yes. Because the dear Father would be thinking about his boy and his girl. And the mother would be thinking about the children she brought into the world. Grandfathers would be thinking about grandchildren, and grandchildren thinking about grandfathers. Their loved ones, their relatives, who are not saved. I tell you, when the Savior comes and you're not saved, you'll be left and you'll be lost forever. You know, 1 second after Christ has come is too late to be saved. 1 second after Christ has come, the door of heaven will be shut to you forever. 1 second after Christ has come, your doom is sealed. Oh, you say, there will be people saved after Christ has come? Yes, there will be thousands. But I tell you, my Bible teaches me that anyone who has ever heard the gospel and has failed to trust the Savior, they'll never, never, never be able to be saved once Jesus has come. My dear friend in this building tonight, your moment of opportunity is just now. The Savior might come before the end of the meeting, and if he did, you'll be lost forever. 1 second after the Savior's come is too late to be saved. 1 second after the Savior's come is too late to go to heaven. You're lost forever. You say, what will happen after the Savior's come? Well, 7 years plus after the Savior's come, while the nations of the earth are locked in bloody warfare, they'll suddenly stop. They'll see almost a road opened up through the heavens to the very throne of God. Down that mighty road, they'll see the Savior, the Lord Jesus, coming with 10,000 of his saints in flaming fire, declaring vengeance on them that know not God and obey not the gospel of the Lord Jesus. Listen, have you obeyed the gospel? You've heard it? You know the way to be saved? You know the way to get to heaven? You dared not to obey the gospel? What does our text say? Declaring vengeance on them that know not God and obey not the gospel. And if you've never obeyed the gospel, and the Lord Jesus came at this second, and you were left. As you say, declaring vengeance on them that know not the gospel, declaring vengeance on you. Think of it. Savior who loved you and died on Calvary. The Savior who tonight wants to call you to himself and to make you his own child and fit you for heaven. He's coming in that wonderful day, 7 days after the Christians, 7 years after the Christians go to heaven, 7 years plus. He's coming down from heaven, declaring vengeance on those that listened to the gospel and didn't obey it. So I close this reading now, solemn meeting. Talk to you folks that are still unsaved, boys and girls, men and women, friends who come in to listen to the gospel and talk to you if you're not saved. What it means to be without a Savior, not only when you have a moment when you come to die, 1 second after you're dead is too late to be saved, you know. 1 second after Christ has come is too late to be saved. And if he came this very night, you'd be left sitting on your seats and every one of us Christians would be gone and you'd look around in terror and your conscience would tell you, I've done lost, 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 and never can be saved. Oh, the awfulness knowing about heaven, knowing about the Father's house, knowing the way to be saved, and yet you dare to say no to Christ and fail to receive him into your heart to be your Savior. The Savior comes and you're lost forever. Terrible thing to be lost forever. Raymond Ashby wrote words like this. When you cease your frenzied beating on that dark, forbidding gate, and the echo of forever in your heart is, I'm too late. Heaven, the door of heaven slammed shut. Unable to enter in. You've never trusted Christ. Your sins are not forgiven. You can never go to heaven until your sins are forgiven. But where will you land? The Bible says, whosoever's name was not found written in the book of life. I'm projecting your mind now into a distant eternity. Whosoever's name was not found written in the book of life was hurled into the lake of fire. Sink down in that horrible place with all its flames and torment for eternity to know you're never going to escape the flames of the lake of fire. Lost and lost forever. Our brothers told you that how God wants everybody to be saved. I told you, Joe, the Lord Jesus wants you to be saved. He wants you to go to heaven to spend eternity in his wonderful home. But friends, don't delay any longer. The day is late. Christ might come, you might die. Eternity would be settled then as far as you're concerned, and we urge you with all our hearts, with all the love of Christ, to put your trust in the Lord Jesus, to come as a sinner just as you are, to come as a sinner and own up for you're a sinner, to recognize you're guilty and undone and you cannot save yourself and say in effect, Jesus, I will trust thee. Trust thee with my soul. Guilty, lost and helpless, thou canst make me whole. There is none in heaven nor on earth like thee. Thou hast died for sinners. Therefore, Lord, for me. You're going to come now at this moment as we close the meeting. You can trust Christ as your own Savior sitting on the seat just where you are. That he's waiting and ready to listen to the cry of any sinner. You feel your need of Christ, you know you want to be saved. You trust him at this very moment and recognize he died for you as a sinner at the place called Calvary. And the very moment you trust him as your Savior,
you will be eternally forgiven. You'll be absolutely sure of heaven. You'll be sure you'll never see the flames of the lake of fire. And you'll be sure if Christ came tonight, you would immediately go to that Father's house, that wonderful place called heaven. May God bless you and save you. Shall we pray? Our God, we bow in thy presence. We bless thee, thou to God, that willeth not the death of one sinner. Thou wouldst have all men to be saved. We thank thee because of that the sacrifice of Christ is sufficient to meet the need of every man and every woman. And there's room in heaven for every sinner who will come in their need and trust the Lord Jesus as his or her own Savior. Thou knowest everyone in this building. Numbers of young folk and they're not saved. Parents and friends and they're not saved. If Christ comes or if they died, they'd be eternally lost. Oh God, make them tremble, we pray, as they think of the awfulness of a lost eternity. And their need cause them to put their trust in the Lord Jesus, to know him as their own Savior. Come just as they are to the feet of the one who died for them upon the cross, and take at his hand the salvation that he offers. So bless thy word, we pray, and bless everyone here, and save somebody tonight, we pray, in the name of the Lord Jesus.